From the Firebird Radio Studio, it's the Authors on Fire podcast with nationally syndicated radio host and producer, Pat Rulo.
Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the International Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, Book Song, where we create a unique song to complement your book, and our newest book, Blessings, a personalized way to set intentions for your book or your books. This is the Authors on Fire podcast, and I am Pat Rulo. And today I have a recent Firebird Book Award winner to share with you. She is Diana Colleen, and the book is titled They Could Be Saviors, a near future speculative fiction about billionaire accountability, psychedelics, and the fight for our future. Diana says, in 2018, I wasn't thinking about writing. I wasn't thinking about much of anything. I was suicidal. Fortunately, I found an underground psychedelic-assisted therapist who changed everything. That experience didn't just save my life, it reshaped it. Today, I am a trained psychedelic facilitator and am dedicated to exploring how expanded states of consciousness can heal personal and societal wounds. Obviously, we have lots to find out here. Welcome to the Authors on Fire podcast, Diana.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Oh, such an interesting collection of words I just read.
there's a lot in there.
A psychedelic facilitator. Maybe just give us a peek into what we should know about that.
Sure. So, psychedelics have shown a ton of promise in treating things like depression, PTSD, and addiction. And I see taking psychedelics in two ways. Some people will take psychedelics as kind of a fun thing to do where they go out with their friends. And then there's the therapeutic use, which is what I do. So when you take psychedelics with a facilitator, you know that you are in a very safe setting, and you know, kind of going into the experience, what to expect. You set intentions, and it's like getting 20 years of therapy in one day.
Interesting. Now, are we talking about mushrooms only?
No. There are lots of different substances that are beneficial. The substance that initially saved my life was MDMA, and it's a very heart-opening substance. So it's very useful for issues with like relationships and familial trauma. So it breaks down your fears surrounding your trauma. So you can look at your trauma through a lens that doesn't re-traumatize you. So in talk therapy, a lot of times when you're retelling the story, you're re-traumatizing yourself because it's all in your body, and you still have kind of the fear that traumatized you in the first place. Mm-hmm. So this drug takes that away, and you can look at what happened to you from a very different perspective.
Fascinating. Yes. MDMA, what is that derived from?
So the street name is like ecstasy or Molly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Not familiar with that. All right. And My next question, pen name, you go under a pen name. That's always fascinates mm-hmm. me. Sometimes I think about that and wonder about the pros and cons of it. How did you decide? Why did you go that route?
Sure. There were actually three main reasons. The first one is that my mom gave me my middle name, which is Colleen. And my father gave me my last name. And my father is someone who has created a lot of trauma in my life. And I just didn't want him to have his name to be recognized. So I wanted my mom to have the recognition. And also, it's not about me. So this book has a very important message, and I don't want that message to be diluted by me as the author, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just didn't want it to be about me.
Interesting. The story does have a radical premise, if you want to consider it, use that word, of kidnapping billionaires to force them to confront the damage they've done. What inspired that idea?
Oh, honestly, the entire story, everything that happens in this book came to me through meditation. The initial concept, I was meditating, and the initial concept kind of came into my head, and I'm like, wow, that's really powerful, and that needs to be said. And as I started writing, I know a lot of other writers experience writer's block, but every time I encountered a kind of a block, I would meditate and the answers came to me. So I didn't know how this book was going to end. I didn't know what the characters were going to do. It all came over a period of time through meditation.
Interesting. As you look back now, can you identify a specific moment or an article or a real world event that first sparked the story for you? Because I can't imagine this idea coming unless there was some seed somewhere.
Honestly, I don't have any recollection of what was happening in my life at the time that I got that download. It was a surprise to me. I'm not one of those people who has, you know, lived my life going, oh, I've got a book in me. I need to write a book before I die. It's never been on my radar to write a book. And so I was shocked. But I'm very grateful. I mean, it's been the craziest journey to get here. And if I'd known how much work and how hard it would be, I probably wouldn't have started. So I'm really glad that I didn't know anything about it when I first started writing.
Oh my gosh, this is so curious. I love all of this. Why don't you give us then a little peek into the premise of the book?
Yeah, so trying not to give away too many spoilers, sure. I guess. Several of the world's wealthiest men are kidnapped using technology that doesn't exist today, but may exist in the near future. So they are kidnapped and held in a high-tech facility in the middle of the Saskatchewan prairies. It's an undetectable facility, and it's kind of like a luxury place. So they're not being punished. They're being treated as human beings. And there's a staff of women who run the facility, and they're all psychedelic assisted therapists. So their goal is to convince these men that they want to do the psychedelic therapy, because you can't have good outcomes with psychedelic assisted therapy if you're forced into it. So part of the book is getting these men to agree to the therapy. And so once they sort of get going, the book describes some of their trips. There's a major twist that happens that I'm not going to give away. And do I give away a little bit at the end? I don't know. Let's say that climate change, there's a plan involved at the end where climate change will be solved.
Right. It does explore climate change and redemption, kind of two heavy themes, the environmental yes. urgency and psychological transformation. There's a lot woven together here.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My goal was to show billionaires as humans. So I think in society, you kind of have two camps of people. The one camp looks at billionaires as success and something to strive towards. They're kind of heroes. And then the other camp is they're villains and they're destroying the planet. And this book kind of looks at them as both and shows them as human beings who have had trauma of their own, and they are the way they are because of kind of what's happened in their life. Mm-hmm. So I think both sides of the debate will enjoy the depiction of the billionaires.
That's interesting, especially during these times, you know, when everyone's kind of pointing fingers at billionaires. And as I think about that, they're just people who either are billionaires and are doing evil with that power because they were evil to begin with. And I don't, you know, and maybe they achieved billionaireism toward that end. And then there's people who are billionaires that we don't even know about that are quiet and mind their own business, or else they do good with the money.
Right.
So I always wonder, is it the money that creates the problem, or it's basically the people? And once they have the money, now they've got the power to do with it maybe things that aren't necessarily positive.
Right. Yeah. And like, I personally, I don't think that it is moral to have more than $1 billion. There's no reason anyone should have that kind of wealth while other people are starving to death. So I don't see any of the billionaires as evil, because I think evil has a connotation of like inhuman and unchangeable, whereas immoral is very human, and you can learn to be moral, if that makes sense.
A lot to chew on and think about and debate, actually, you know, this is a very eye-opening book that will cause people to have discussion.
Definitely. I think book clubs are going to love it. There's so much to get into for a book club, like so many different topics.
So the book asks whether the ends justify the means. Mm-hmm. Did your own answer to that question evolve as you wrote it?
I think I've always believed that the end justifies the means for this book. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So there are some pretty horrible things that happen in the book. And obviously kidnapping people is not great. So right. There are definitely some morally gray things. And but I do believe that, you know, saving the planet ultimately is the goal, and what happens in the book is necessary.
You talk about moral and morality. How did you balance moral tension with emotional depth without turning this book into like a preachy manifesto? This could have gone another route.
Definitely. Yeah. A lot of the reviews are praising it because it's not like politically motivated. It's not. It treats everybody as a human being. So the therapists are human. You learn about their backstories. You learn the backstories of the billionaires. So I think by keeping everything focused on being a human being is how that happens.
Mm-hmm. And redemption, that's a fragile thing in this book as well. We kind of touched on it, but do you believe that people, let's say at the top, people that are truly powerful, do you think they can actually change? And if so, what would be the catalyst?
See, that's the tricky part, right? Because people who benefit from the systems in place, they rarely want to change the systems, and they rarely want to change themselves like voluntarily if they're benefiting from what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. So that's why I had to kidnap them, because I don't think that billionaires are going to change on their own. I mean, you look at Warren Buffett's the giving pledge, and it has not been successful at all, because almost every single billionaire who signed that pledge, their wealth has increased, some of them by hundreds of percent since they signed that pledge. So sure, they're giving away some of their money, but they're not giving away nearly as much as they said they would, because they don't have to. Even though they signed this pledge, they do not have to give away their money. And why would they?
Well, that's an interesting question. That's because you mentioned earlier, and I'm going to just be a little devil's advocate here to say that there's a cutoff point where a person can only make $1 billion. Is that capping somebody's potential to say, hey, you know what? I want to work hard and I've created something and I discovered something or I built something. Why would that person have to stop because somebody else didn't?
Well, I'm Canadian, so I don't know the history of the United States very well. So I might get my dates wrong and stuff like that. But the United States used to tax very wealthy people. So at a certain amount, they would tax anything over that at 95%. I think it was 90 or 95%. And that's when the U.S. was they were doing all kinds of things. The middle class was thriving. And then slowly the tax rate came down and down and down. And now we have this huge divide in wealth. I don't think that will stifle innovation. These people who have made billions of dollars, they were innovating before they had $200 billion. It's not a requirement to have that much money to innovate and do good things. You know, I think as a society, we reward domination and accumulation. And we really should be celebrating empathy and cooperation. And those things right now are kind of seen as weakness, like cooperation is weakness. But if we stop glorifying domination and accumulation as a society, I think things will change.
Wow, that's a big ask. Let's
yeah.
That I don't know about, maybe not in my lifetime. Speaking of that, what kind of conversations do you hope they could be savior would spark in your readers? What are you looking for?
Oh, so many. So the three main topics: climate change, psychedelics, and billionaireism. So there are three big things. And then of course there are the sort of smaller things like redemption and personal healing, that kind of thing. So there's a lot to go through.
There sure is. All right. When did this book come out?
It comes out January 13th. So it's available for pre-order right now.
All right. It's on its way, right?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So what's next for you as a writer? Are you going to kind of ride this wave for a little while, or do you have other thoughts in the works?
Oh, I've got so many books in my head. So it's going to be challenging to decide. I've started writing two of them, but it's like they're fighting in my brain of which one is the most important. So I've definitely got my work cut out, but right now I'm very focused on the marketing and publicity for this book, because like I said, the message is the important thing. So I fully believe in this story and it needs to get out there.
I'm wondering if the world's billionaires were forced to read one passage from your book, if you had a passage that would resonate or that you would hope would resonate.
There is. I don't know the exact words, but they're sitting around talking about why climate change is the most important thing to solve. So the women had said that, you know, initially they wanted to have them solve inequality and war and all of the things, but they decided to focus on climate change. And that is because without a livable planet, nothing else matters. So climate change has to be the number one priority.
Well, it seems to be on everyone's minds lately. So your timing with this book coming out is critical, really. What plans do you have to get it into the right hands? I'm sure you've given that some thought.
Yeah, we're working really hard on things. I've hired a publicist. I'm going on all kinds of podcasts. I'd really like to reach book clubs. So I have an offer for anyone who's in a book club. If they contact me at my email address, hello@dianacolleenauthor.com, and let me know that their book club is reading the book, I am happy to attend that meeting. Like via Zoom or whatever platform works for them. And if they're within like 50 miles of Seattle, I'll show up in person.
Excellent. I knew you would probably have a plan for this. And the book cover, how did that come about?
Oh, that's a long story. And it was a struggle. I went through a couple of different designers. I have three different covers in my possession, physical books with three different covers. And this one was just absolutely the most striking. And I think that anyone who looks at it is going, wow, what is that about? Mm-hmm. So I'm thrilled with this cover. I think it's brilliant.
It is. It's the image of a person's face or a head, with the mushrooms growing up from the throat almost up into the brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And the color.
It's definitely eye-catching.
Yeah. I'm sure you gave a lot of thought even to the color design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The green, I wanted the green for earth.
Earth.
And then the red inside the brain looks very kind of dystopian. So that's kind of like, oh, what might happen if we don't solve things.
All right. And you have a post here that billionaireism is a curable disease. So
yes.
All right. Well, if you would then share any contact information where folks can find out more and get copies of your book.
Sure. Yeah. I've given that my email address, and I love it when people write to me. So that again is hello@dianacolleenauthor.com. I'm on pretty much most of the socials. I'm on Blue Sky, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and those are all Diana Colleen Author. And yeah, you can find my book pretty much anywhere books are sold. So Barnes & Noble, Amazon. You can go into any local bookstore and ask them to order it for you. And again, the launch date is January 13th.
All right, it's coming up. Speaking with Diana Colleen, the book is titled They Could Be Saviors, a near future speculative fiction about billionaire accountability, psychedelics, and the fight for our future. Obviously, this is an intense book, and so I'm looking forward to having you get it out there and yeah, just seeing where it goes and what response you get. So, all righty, DianaColleenAuthor.com. That's it.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right, my friend. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing your book with us. And I'm going to keep my eyes on you and see where this lands.
Thank you so much for having me.